Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. This is Todd McGreevy. I'm your host for the next hour on Common Sense Revisited Radio Hour on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is Saturday, February 13th, 2010. Thank you for joining us today. Glad to have you here. I do want to put the call out for open phones today, as if the phones are never open, but they always are on our show. It's 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Got an agenda today to go over of just latest happenings in the news, if you will, and some thoughts about what we can do to take civic action to enforce our rights. Common Sense Revisited being the theme, we have to enforce our own individual authority, our own individual lawful natural rights, our indigenous power, if you will, versus our surrogate power, which we have allowed to happen through the freedom documents that founded this country. Many of us, of course, that are listening, this is Preaching the Converted, so I'm going to try and focus on things we can do to assert that power and reassert our indigenous authority over our servant government. And the last hour was a fascinating listen with the all the discussion of a person's straw man and so forth, and it is just an incredible amount of information out there, and there's different ways that we can all go about this, and I think that you'll see that the approach that I'm proposing is a little more of a macro effect. I think we need to take simultaneous efforts like that, what that was discussed on the previous hour, individually, those of us who have the wherewithal to do that. We can't expect even 5% of the population to take those efforts. It's way too complicated. I'm hopefully going to help us discuss some of the less complicated, more accessible ways for us to assert our indigenous power. And be sure to call in if you have any questions or comments, 800-313-9443. I did something a little different today. I've posted on my own personal blog some show links, if you will, and you can go to thirdrailblog.com, spelled out THIRDRAILBLOG, thirdrailblog.com, and there at the top of that page you'll see today's February 13th Common Sense Revisited show links, and this is kind of an agenda, if you will, of some of the things I'd like to discuss today. At the top of that list is an article that was in Salon.com recently, published February 4th. The author is Glenn Greenwald. I'm not even familiar with Mr. Greenwald's work. This was somehow sent to me, and I thought it was a fascinating article that a lot of us may not be aware of. It's called On the Claimed War Exception to the Constitution. And the general gist of this is there was a recent hearing in Congress where Congressman Hoekstra grilled Admiral Blair about the executive branch's efforts to assassinate, put people on an assassination list, Americans, for being involved with Al-Qaeda and so forth. And, you know, I need to throw a big disclaimer out here. I mean, obviously I'm not for terrorists who would harm Americans. Let's not go there. Let's focus on the rule of law here. And what's discussed here is this whole concept that the current administration is following the preceding administration's policy of just quietly behind the scenes working to assassinate people that they feel are dangerous without any type of due process, without any constitutional authority whatsoever. This continues, and this is starting to bubble up, if you will, in the news that this is actually happening. And I encourage everybody to go take a look at that article. It cites the Washington Post article by Dana Priest, which described how the Obama administration has adopted the Bush policy of targeting selected American citizens for assassination if they are deemed by the executive branch to be terrorists. I think this bodes ill for, you know, any of us out there that are, you know, trying to generate more awareness, bring more heat to the problems that plague Americans with fiat currency, with warrantless wiretapping, with no-knock warrants, with the whole slow creep, the slow boiling frog that we all know is happening as we all try and continue to bring more light to these issues. If this is what's being ramped up behind the scenes, I think that we should all be well aware of this. And you know, this, I was trying to find some footage of this online with Hoekstra grilling this Admiral Blair, and if anybody finds that, you know, feel free to post that at thirdrailblog.com on the comments box. I'd love to be able to post that. I just wasn't able to find it. But it's a fascinating article. It gives some background, too, with the 1969 case in the Supreme Court. So we got a break coming up here. Stick with us. Thank you for joining us on Common Sense Revisited on Republic Broadcasting.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today. Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. Common Sense Revisited Radio Hour on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you for joining us this hour. I'm your host, Todd McGreevy. Feel free to call in at 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to weigh in with a comment or a question. 800-313-9443. We were just talking about this article that appeared in Salon.com about 10 days ago that's articulating how the Obama administration is following closely in the footsteps of the Bush administration to exercise what they deemed to be their authority to call for the assassination of Americans if they claim that they are terrorists. And it should come as no surprise to us, you know, back in May of last year, Obama stood right in front of the Constitution at a news conference during the dust-up about Guantanamo and the closing or not closing of Guantanamo Bay and how he was having all these problems with purported terrorists that were in custody there should be adjudicated or not. And he stood right there in front of the Constitution and claimed that his administration needed to establish a new legal regime, quote unquote, new legal regime. And I wrote about this, and there's a link at the blog that I just told you about, thirdrailblog.com. I did write about this back in May, and what prompted me to even look at this, and it was amazingly segment on the Rachel Maddow show, who was avowedly a hardcore left-leaning liberal, as collectivist as you could possibly get, Rachel Maddow. But at the end of the day, you know, she still is paying some attention to the Constitution, which is fascinating in and of itself. But she really called Obama out hard on this, and I was very impressed with it. And there's actually an embedded video of her segment there you can watch. You can find this link at the thirdrailblog.com. But he actually, you know, he quoted he was quoted as saying that, you know, our government would need new tools to protect the American people, and these tools would have to allow us to prevent attacks instead of simply prosecuting those who try to carry them out. You know, this is all about, you know, a crime you might commit in the future. And, of course, this is, you know, alludes to that movie Minority Report, which Rachel Maddow actually had a clip of on there. You know, you might do something in the future, so we have to detain you indefinitely. And so the reason I bring this up is that it should come as no surprise that, you know, almost a year later now we're having hearings where, you know, it's becoming clear that our administration is targeting Americans for assassination for what they might do in the future. And I think it's really important for us to all be aware of this. You know, another key point that was made during that news conference back in May, you know, Obama said, "My single most important responsibility as president is to keep the American people safe." And that quote, that statement is just a go-to statement that every, you know, leader, you know, that's elected that wants to stay in power, you know, throws out, "I'm here to keep you safe." Well, you know, not so much, Mr. President. Bush said the same thing. You know, their oath of office was the following. Quote, "I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States." It doesn't say anything about keeping me safe. You know, we're not paying our elected leaders to keep us safe. We, the people, can keep ourselves safe. given the freedom to operate with our own devices, we will keep ourselves safe. No problem. We got that one covered. In fact, we're less safe with the actions that our servant government has taken over the past 100 years. So with that, I'll segue you into the next topic of discussion, which is some of the legislation that's happening in Iowa here where I live, or the proposed legislation. And there's some links at the thirdrailblog.com about that as well. And there is a group here in Iowa called the Iowa Gun Owners. And there's a link at the website there to an update that they have. In Iowa, we have what's called the funnel, and by yesterday, Friday, any bill that was going to be brought to the floor for debate and potential passage or not had to get through the committee funnel by Friday. So there's a lot of activity last week. And the Iowa Gun Owners Association has been promoting a real right to carry bill since last year. In fact, they had a procedural vote that was a tie, 49-49, in the Senate last year, which was pretty interesting. It got close to getting out of the committee with a tie. This year, they're bringing, you know, more pressure to bear to have the real right to carry bill as well. And I'm a huge fan of this real right to carry bill. I don't even own a weapon or a firearm, but I certainly don't want the government to tell us that we can or cannot have the right to defend ourselves. And I find it so hypocritical that we have these structures imposed upon us of whether or not you can own a weapon. When, you know, driving a car is a 2,000-pound weapon, this is ridiculous. You know, your own fist is a weapon if you want it to be. So it's one of the most hypocritical, you know, as I get older, I learned how hypocritical these things are. And so I applaud the Iowa Gun Owners Association and their efforts. And one of the interesting developments was that, you know, there's all this jockeying going back and forth. You know, there's people that want to make amendments to it, and there's the whole, you know, strife between the National Rifle Association and their lobbying efforts with their respective bill they'd like to see, which, you know, many of us consider to be, you know, right to carry light, with lots of caveats in there that really gut it and neuter it, if you will, versus the what I consider to be the more pure efforts. But anyway, the Senate Majority Leader Gronstahl, Gronstahl. He's, you know, he wields a little bit of influence in the Senate there in Iowa, and he was approached by Aaron Doerr, the executive director of Iowa Gun Owners. And there's some photos. You'll see, if you go to the link there, you'll see there's photos of him having a dialogue in the rotunda there. And Mr. Gronstahl is handed a pack of hundreds of petitions from his own district, from his own constituents, asking him to support the Iowa Gun Owners' proposed legislation, which is a real right to carry. And there's photos right there of him just throwing them right on the floor, just tossing the petitions on the floor. And I'm, you know, saddened to see this, but I'm also glad to see it at the same time, because maybe this is evidence that we, the people, need to understand that, you know, it's time to get beyond elections. It's time to get beyond petitioning, even. And it's time to get, frankly, beyond tea parties and protest and raising, you know, these things are not working. It may feel good to sign a petition, and it may feel good to, you know, try and get your guy elected. But as we can see, none of this is working. The tyranny continues to march on at unprecedented paces. Our taxes continue to rise. Our foreign wars continue that are undeclared, unconstitutional, costly. We're kicking the can down the road to our great-grandchildren to pay for all these things. I'm preaching to the converted, I know, to everybody who's listening to this. So I want to use I would encourage you to go check out the efforts of the Iowa gun owners, and if you're listening in Iowa, support them. But it's another segue into what I'd like to talk to you about next, and that is what is the next step for a free people if we need to get beyond petitions, because they're just getting tossed on the floor of our state capitol, as you can see when you go to that link. Then what is the next step for a free people? Fortunately, there is a next step, and it's called enforcement. We, the people, can enforce these natural rights. And the mechanism for that enforcement is called Articles of Freedom. And anybody who's listened to me over the last 6 months know I was heavily involved with the Continental Congress, which convened last November in Illinois. We had 120 delegates from 48 states who sat down for 11 days and nights and worked their tails off to evaluate the hard work of We the People Foundation for the last 14 years, who's been exercising the last 10 words of the First Amendment, the right to a petition for redress of grievance. And that is essentially, we've exhausted all of our administrative and judiciary remedies to these violations of the Constitution. We the people have, via the We the People Foundation and many others who filed petitions as well. And the government continues to answer those petitions with more injury, much like our founders found themselves in the late 1700s, petitioning the crown for petition. What is a free people to do? And they convened their Continental Congress, and we know that that ended up becoming the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and created what has been the biggest acceleration of human ingenuity in the history of the planet. The 5,000-year leap. Well, a modern-day Continental Congress was convened last November. It's time to revisit those same models, if you will, and those delegates worked their tails off, as I said, and came up with the Articles of Freedom. And there's a link to articlesoffreedom.us is the website. And these are remedial instructions. These are instructions to the federal legislature and the state and all of our state legislators on how to remedy and fix what we the people have allowed them to break. So it's gone beyond petitioning, gone beyond elections, and beyond the Tea Party level. And I encourage all the listeners out there to go to articlesoffreedom.us, evaluate the articles, evaluate the nationwide civic action, and take the pledge to join many millions of other Americans in that nationwide civic action, which is April 19th. It's Monday, April 19th. And I'm circling back here to, you've got this Iowa gun owners, doing their best, effort to get a real right to carry legislation passed, going through the front door, if you will, going through the mechanisms of our state legislature to actually plead for a right that we shouldn't even have to plead for, frankly. It's ridiculous that we even have to have legislation. We already have this right and authority as enumerated in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and in our state constitution, frankly. So we have to unwind what we've allowed to get wound up. Well, how do we show what's going to happen here? I mean, if you go to that thirdrailblog.com webpage, you'll see I also have an embedded video there of myself delivering the Articles of Freedom to one of our state representatives. And we've done this in Scott County here in eastern Iowa. On a local level, there's been some legislative forums. Looks like we've got a break coming up here. Be sure to call in 1-800-313-9443. See you after the break.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Everybody, welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. And I'm reading a text message now sent to me by my wife, so I better pay attention here. She's listening. Yes, this is. These are instructions. We were just talking about the Articles of Freedom right before the break here, and these are instructions for our legislators on how to remedy what we have allowed to break. And I'll give you a for instance here. There is the article number, I believe it's number 4, deals with malicious firearms in the Second Amendment. And if you go to articlesoffreedom.us, you can find it there. And the remedial instructions to Congress, you know, read, whereas the Second Amendment of the Constitution mandates, in order to provide for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And whereas a multitude of federal statutes constitute de facto infringement, now, therefore, we, the delegates of the Continental Congress 2009, as free people of America, do hereby instruct the Congress of the United States as follows. Repeal all federal statutes regulating the ownership, use, and transfer of firearms and ammunition. 2. Repeal any federal statutes which provide for the taxation or registration of firearms and ammunition. 3. Abolish the Department of Homeland Security and thereby return the responsibility for domestic security to the militias of the several states. The term militia, inherently separate from the state National Guard, means constitutional defense force, comprising all citizenry capable of bearing arms and under proper authority in defense of themselves and each of the several states. Number 4. Make statutes providing for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia and for governing such part of them as may be called to serve the United States and reserve to the states all other powers relating to the militia. 5, encourage and support and cease and desist from infringing upon the duty of the people to revitalize the well-regulated militia of each of the several states. Now, those were the instructions to the federal Congress, to our, you know, state our senators and our congressmen. Then there are instructions to each of the several states. These are a little more lengthy, but I'll read you some high points here. One, repeal all state statutes regulating ownership, use, and transfer of firearms and ammunition. Two, repeal any state statutes which provide for the registration of firearms and ammunition. So when I went to our local legislative forum and met with, we had nine of our state reps and state senators there at a local chamber function, at a local educational forum and so forth with the schools, we delivered copies of the Articles of Freedom to them in hand, and we took some video of us delivering them to them as well. And this is going to be a teaching process and a learning process for all. You know, these folks need to understand that we're not there to, you know, beat them up. We're not there to say boo bad. We're there to help educate them and give them the instructions on how they can fix what we've allowed to break. And part of that, you know, right now there's legislation being, you know, batted about in the state legislature about a real right to carry. And what we're trying to explain to our respective servant government officials is, look, if you pass the Iowa Gun Owners House and Senate bill, you will have checked the box on instruction number 1 and 2 inside the Articles of Freedom. You will have moved one step further to restoring the Constitution. And, you know, it takes a little bit of some understanding. You know, are they even interested in upholding their oath that they took when they took office is one of the key things that we all have to ask all of our state legislators. I'm not holding out any, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, Senator Grassley and Senator Harkin here in Iowa are going to read this and go, whoa, I need to change what I'm doing. That's not going to happen unless on April 19th. Many millions of Americans show up simultaneously in all of our state capitals at once. That's what this plan calls for. If you go to the thirdrailblog.com, you have a link right to the plan, or you can go to articlesoffreedom.us right at the top. You can't miss it. It says the plan. I encourage everybody to take a look at that. It's right now, it's not very complex. I mean, show up April 19th in your state capital en masse. We need millions of people to show up at once. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, some of my state legislators aren't even in session. Here in Iowa, they will have already been done at the end of March because they had to cut their legislative sessions short due to budget concerns. It costs $40,000 a day to stay in session. Well, okay, that's fine, but there's still staffers there, and there's still offices of our respective federal senators there. And frankly, if we have, you know, a couple hundred thousand people, you know, in the state of Iowa show up in Des Moines at the state capitol, that's going to be newsworthy, especially if it's happening in Missouri and Wisconsin and Kansas and, you know, Colorado and all over the United States at once. This plan, you know, it doesn't take much for all of us to drive to our state capitals in our respective states. You know, there's some states like California, which are pretty large, and Texas, but, you know, this isn't a lot to ask to show up in solidarity. And think about the impact this could have on our respective state legislators at a minimum. When they see that level of solidarity happening in our states all at once, simultaneously, it's proof that we the people are capable of mobilizing, capable of organizing, capable of acting in unison to enforce our constitutional rights, to enforce. This isn't about asking for permission anymore. This isn't a petition. This isn't pleading anymore. This is the next step for a free people to have a show of peaceful force. And we'll take stock after April 19th. What impact did that have? Did this move the dial? And then I'm guessing there will be another meeting by the Continental Congress to evaluate that. You know, what happened after April 19th? Do we need to raise the level of peaceful force? What will be the next step? We need to show up, everybody, and have a unified show of solidarity. And of course, the formal delivery of these Articles of Freedom would happen on that day. And, you know, many of us think that we have to be like water on a rock, though. I don't think we can show up on April 19th and come out of the blue, even though we have millions at once to do it, and just expect the legislators to go, oh, Articles of Freedom, let's go follow these rules to the T. I think that there's some education that could be done along the way leading up to it. And then when that show, when you'll see if you watch the video, these people are just going to tell me what I want to hear to my face as I'm handing them this document. I'm a constituent. They want my vote. They're not going to tell me to go hang or anything. They're just going to continue to tummy rub as we go. But if we're like water on a rock and we continue to deliver these articles of freedom and bring awareness, and I'm hearing anecdotally in other states, there are representatives and senators who are state level legislators who are picking up the bit and getting this. And saying, wow, this is something I can get behind. Some states are, more free than others, as we all know, like New Hampshire and Idaho and so forth out there. But this isn't rocket science. I mean, these instructions are not out of the blue. These instructions aren't some new way to go about things. They are documenting the violations that have been well documented. They're heavily footnoted with all of the petitions for redress of grievance that We the People Foundation have pursued. And so this is a methodical, lawful process that we the people have gone through to get to this stage. Instead of complaining about what we don't like, we're now instructing our elected officials of what we do like. So encourage anybody to call in with a comment or question, 800-313-9443. We'll see you after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Attention, ladies. Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Common Sense Revisited on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Todd McGreevy, and thank you for listening today about the Articles of Freedom and how we can take civic action to enforce our own individual indigenous rights. One thing I forgot to say at the top of the hour is, the theme of this is Common Sense Revisited. Please visit commonsenserevisited.com. That's where you can download the free copy of the modern-day tribute to Thomas Paine's original, Common Sense Revisited, published by Clyde Cleveland, the founder of this segment, if you will. It's an excellent primer on all kinds of topics to get the dialogue going, and it's written in layman's terms. You can order copies there as well to hand out. It's an excellent icebreaker for people to get people thinking about these issues. It should go hand-in-hand with copies of the Articles of Freedom, in my opinion. And so forth. I did have somebody prompt me about reading a different article than the one to do with weapons and firearms, and certainly, absolutely, I just focus on that one because of some of the legislation happening in Iowa right now. I think another important one here is the one to do with money in Article 1 of the Constitution. That's Article number 10 of the Articles of Freedom. Because as I've heard many people like Dr. Edwin Vieira say, if we don't have economic security, we don't have any security at all. And I that is totally true. In fact, economic security, I think, comes before the rest. The Articles of Freedom, Article number 10, gives remedial instructions to federal Congress and to the state legislature. And I'll read you the remedial instructions to the state legislatures, because I think that's where we're going to get the most traction to begin with. Even though Dr. Ron Paul does have a bill pending right now about alternative currencies, competing currencies, which is a fascinating bill that I encourage everybody to take a look at, that would be that move the dial quite a bit. Anyway, here's the remedial instructions to each of the several states about currency. That the legislature, in the exercise of its reserve power under Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, and the 10th Amendment, as well as other provisions of the Constitution for the United States, shall adopt a currency other than that emitted by Congress for use in all the financial transactions of the state. These shall by statute establish an advisory commission on alternative and competitive currency for the state, the purpose of which shall be to study and recommend the means, including all necessary state legislation, by which the state can adopt an economically sound and constitutional alternative and competitive currency consisting exclusively of silver and gold, initially for use in all of the financial transactions of the state's government, thereby minimizing the use in such transactions of Federal Reserve notes or bank balances payable in those notes, and eventually to supplant the use of such notes or balances in all private economic transactions within the state to the maximum degree possible for the benefit of its citizens. It goes on to explain that this advisory commission shall be composed of the following persons, and here you need to list those in your state that you want to have be involved. That this advisory commission shall, within 60 days from the effective date of the said statute, submit to the legislature a report containing complete and specific drafts for this. And then within 60 days, the legislature, 60 days of receipt of that the legislature shall enact such legislation as will achieve the goals set out in paragraph 1. The recommended civic actions, I also need to explain, there's a three-part section to each article. There's instructions to the federal Congress, instructions to the state legislature, and then there's recommended civic actions by the people that we can take right now. And the civic actions on Article 10 of the Articles of Freedom state, whereas Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution specifies that no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin tender in payment of debts, and understanding the Federal Reserve as a private banking cartel whose effect has been to reduce the value of the dollar approximately 96% since its inception, Continental Congress 2009, in the interest of economic liberty, one, encourages networks of like-minded individuals to increasingly buy hard money coinage to use among their communities with the goal of increasing financial independence, and two, that the aforementioned individuals, upon having established trade procedures in said hard money, shall be prepared for the replacement of the unconstitutional Federal Reserve upon its failure or abolition. So it's giving a kind of a broad set of civic actions, if you will. There's also an assumption that this is trying to mobilize 5% of America. If we can get 5% of America to take these civic actions, we're going to move the dial and start restoring our republic. And it also makes the assumption that there are numerous efforts happening in each state that are bubbling up, if you will. There's American Open Currency out there that Rob Gray runs. It's doing some great things in Texas, where he has silver rounds as what people are trading with and so forth. There's the federal legislation I just talked about that Ron Paul has brought up for competing currencies, ironically happened almost in tandem with the release of these Articles of Freedom, which is calling for the very same thing in each state. So I see some things happening that has some good synergy and so forth. And the footnotes of this article are just outstanding. It has the petition for redress of grievances about the Federal Reserve System that We the People filed several years ago. It has the video of Tom DeWeese, the first delegate of Virginia, talking about the power of the purse. It has a link to the video of William Bergman, the analyst for Morningstar, his experiences at the Federal Reserve System. And then it has a video of Robert Schultz, chairman of We the People, talking about his petition for the related to the Federal Reserve System. And that's the other thing I forgot to mention, is that all these footnotes at the Articles of Freedom have links to video presentations videos of presentations that happened at Continental Congress. This wasn't just happening in a vacuum. Continental Congress was webcast live for those 11 days, and there for the first 7 or 8, well, for about 6 days there was morning and afternoon presentations by experts on each one of these violations so that there was some context and some backup and some education about these violations. It didn't happen in a vacuum, and there are some excellent contextual links there for everybody to check out and encourage your state legislators to watch this stuff. Those are the ones that need to watch it more than anything. Again, we're preaching the converted. The, you know, percentage of us that are paying attention and listening to stations like Republic Broadcasting, we already know all this stuff, and we're here to, you know, help each other. But the ones that really need the help are the state legislators, and we need to treat them as such. Until they do not follow these instructions, then we need to take additional civic action. And that could include elections. You know, yes, we can do that. And I'm a fan of trying to move the dial on the elections. There's many that I talk to that are involved with Articles of Freedom that say the elections don't even work anymore. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, or not. You get in, you continue to violate. And it's true. That's what the behavior has shown us. But I'm hopeful that with many millions of us showing up at the state capitals on April 19th, it's a Monday, and it's also, I think, the anniversary of the first firing on the Lexington Green, that, you know, it's a nice symbolic day. But if we can all show up on our state capitol steps, that it will get the attention of our state legislators in a big way, and they will start understanding that that we, the people, are not going to stand for this any longer. And this is moving beyond petitioning, beyond elections, and beyond tea parties. The civic actions are there on each one of these. I encourage you to take a look at articlesoffreedom.us. If anybody has any thoughts, comments, concerns, criticisms, attaboys, whatever you'd like to share with us, 1-800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. A couple of sidebars here for you that's, I think, worth noting that's happening out there, and I need to get these into the show links. I don't have them there yet, but is that, you know, I mentioned Bob Schultz. He's the chairman of the We the People Foundation. Behind the scenes, and not necessarily in secret or by any stretch, but the mainstream media doesn't cover this at all. You know, he has concurrently, while all this is going on with Continental Congress and Articles of Freedom, he has two lawsuits that are currently pending. One is in the U.S. Court of Appeals, and it's his lawsuit that he filed on the eve of the TARP bailout. And it is against Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson, at the time Treasury Secretary, and it was to put a stay on the TARP bailout. The decidedly the unconstitutional act of gifting from the Treasury for private use, essentially, is it in a nutshell. And he asked the very, very hard questions that nobody was asking, is how in the world do these people even have the authority to do this? And it was written in such a way and brought to such a degree that he actually has oral arguments on March 11th in Manhattan at the U.S. Court of Appeals. And unfortunately, because it's a pro se case, in other words, Mr. Schultz is representing himself. He doesn't have an attorney doing the work. The law, the rules of the, I went and looked it up, the rules of the U.S. Court of Appeals do not allow cameras into the courtroom for a pro se case, which is just out of hand, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would have encouraged, you know, any of us listening, myself, you know, to get there and watch this. This is going to be historic. The fact that there's even going to be an argument heard in a U.S. Court of Appeals of that TARP bailout and how unconstitutional it was is just of huge proportions. And, of course, the mainstream doesn't even touch this with a 10-foot pole at all. All we get is the back-and-forth bickering on the talking head shows. So that's happening. You know, you can, I'll put a link to it at the thirdrailblog.com, but you can also just, you know, search engine AIG bailout lawsuit Bob Schultz. You know, it should come up at the We the People Foundation website, the update about that. I've read the briefs. They're brilliantly written. These folks are having a very hard time with his effort to bring this to the forefront. And I encourage everybody to support his efforts. Go to We the People Foundation and make a donation, because this is not something that's heavily funded by the establishment out there, the duopoly. The other thing that's happening, it's not on the radar screen with We the People Foundation, is what's called the National Clean Election Lawsuit, NCEL, N-C-E-L, National Clean Election Lawsuit. Way back during the primaries of the 2008 election, and when Ron Paul was getting all the energy and ramping up the momentum, there was a lot of people in each state that were very, very worried about the votes being counted in secret during the primaries. Rightly so, as we all know. Heaven forbid that a person of Dr. Paul's repute with his record for following the Constitution would make it to the top of a list in any straw poll or any type of, you know, statewide primary. I mean, that would be the death knell for the establishment. So people got together, and they got together with Bob, who led the charge, and he filed 50 simultaneous lawsuits. He sued in each state along with the help of many others, Jim Condit Jr. And others, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but there were many others who helped him in each state file a lawsuit to sue the Secretary of State in each state to ensure that the votes were counted in public, not counted in secret. And there's all kinds of documentaries that we've all seen and talked about and heard that show that unequivocally our elections are being stolen. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, an Al Gore fan or a George Bush fan on that. You know, we all know that the elections are being stolen electronically. There's a handful of vendors who control this. We've gone up against it here in Iowa and at all the states. All they do is they just turn to the feds and they say, oh, we're following the Help America Vote Act, HAVA. So our hands are, you know, we can't do anything. We're just doing what we're told. It's a systemic issue in each state. Well, to bring it back to what We the People Foundation is doing, the National Clean Election lawsuit actually is getting a jury trial. He's brought it up. What happened was since We the People Foundation is in New York, the courts deemed that the 49 other lawsuits didn't have any standing, but this one in New York did, and it got up the ladder far enough now that it is actually going to be a jury trial in September, I believe, of this year. And so the efforts are happening in New York by We the People Foundation to bring this to fruition. And there's discovery going on right now. And if you, again, you know, search engine this NCEL, National Clean Election Lawsuit, you'll start seeing some of the documents out there. They're just amazing. The Secretary of State in New York is just refusing to comply with any of the discovery that is being asked for with records and so forth. They're, in fact, putting confidentiality contracts in front of the plaintiff, asking them to sign these which is just ludicrous. They're going to show him the stuff that he needs as evidence only if he agrees to make it confidential. It's laughable. Looks like we have a call from Dave in Canada. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, sir. How are you?
Greetings.
I've been on the net since last fall, and you're the first show I clicked into, and you're right there hard on topic on something I have been involved with myself.
What's that?
Pro se complaints against the U.S. Treasury Department.
Interesting.
Yes. Back in 2002, I sued three U.S. Treasury agents for not collecting taxes. Can you imagine?
Well, that's kind of fascinating. What was your impetus for that?
It had to do with I filed whistleblower forms about tax fraud, securities fraud.
You filed what forms?
Whistleblower forms. Whistleblower forms.
Okay. Gotcha.
Under Title 26 of the U.S. Federal Code for the Taxman,
mm-hmm.
There's a form you can fill out. It's called Form 211.
Mm-hmm.
99% of all the IRS employees are not aware of its existence. Have you ever heard of a Form 211?
Not yet. Nope.
Well, please allow me to enlighten you. It's a whistleblower form that not only gives you protection as you blow the whistle on wrongful doings,
mm-hmm.
But it also gives you a reward of 10 or 15% of all the taxes and penalties collected to a ceiling of $2 million.
Hmm.
The Fed's got to pay you.
This is whistleblowing within which structure? I mean, is it within the Treasury?
The IRS, the U.S. Treasury Department.
Mm-hmm.
So what I had done is I had found where lawyers had cheated the tax man.
Okay.
And hid the money. And I followed the money from, say, MFS, you know, they're owned by Sun Life Canada, into Merrill Lynch, out of Merrill Lynch, into a bank. And they were money laundering. They would take $50,000 at a time, deposit it in a bank teller machine, and take $500 a day out. You know, nobody's looking, and then put it in another bank. That's money laundering.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in a time when any transactions over $10,000 should be monitored.
Hmm.
And this was done by an ex-FBI agent, our uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, it was our money.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the fellow that has the first kick the can of all estates and trusts is the tax man. So not only were they ripping us off, they had to rip off the tax man first and lie to them as to how much these estates and trusts were worth. So all I had to do was find money that had not been reported to the tax man, secure the proof, and file the whistleblower forms, figuring the tax man would go audit the banks, the lawyers, find their money, and find ours as well.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good plan, right?
Were you a U.S. citizen when you did this?
I've never been a U.S. citizen.
So that's...
I'm a very proud Canadian.
Okay, but that's kind of... Why would the courts hear...
Canada is a corporation that files on the New York Stock Exchange.
What is?
Canada. My country. I ran for parliament a couple of times.
Excellent.
However, I'm married to a nice American lady.
Yeah.
And I'm a proud father of two Yankees, so that doesn't make me a bad fellow, does it?
That's fascinating. Dan, we got a break here. Hold on 1 second.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa?
Hello, this is Todd McGreevy. You're back with us at Common Sense Revisited. Thank you for joining us, and we've only got about 5 minutes left, and I want to encourage everybody to stay tuned when we're finished to listen to Michael McKay and his Radio Free Market show. It's always informative, always worth listening to. Radio Free Market with Michael McKay is up after we're finished here. And we have Dan from Canada, I think, still on the line. Maybe not? Okay. Dan, I think, was talking about, or Dave, I'm sorry. Dave was talking about how he had filed a pro se case because his whistleblower form was not responded to, I believe. And the
Are
reason
there?
That even came. You still there, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, so Dave, we've got a very short period here. Can you give us, in 60 seconds or less, this pro se deal?
Yeah, it was most definitely responded to, and this was back years ago, and to pique your listeners' interest, it had to do with our inheritance from an auntie who used to work for the Department of State, who was buried right beside Rose Kennedy in Massachusetts, right beside where Ted Kennedy's buried now.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that said, this was a long time ago. So all of my stuff is a matter of public record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually won 4 judgments by default in early 2003 in those lawsuits.
Hmm.
And the Americans came to my door. We live in Milton, Massachusetts, same town where George H.W. Bush was born to his proud daddy Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
And the Americans tried to take me to Guantanamo Bay. That made me very angry. That's why I ran for parliament a couple of times since then.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, my matters are a matter of public record at your United States Senate Banking Committee. Because 6 months after the Americans tried to take me to Guantanamo Bay, mm-hmm. I caused a very important hearing on November the 18th and November the 20th, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
They were entitled Review of Current Investigations of the Mutual Fund Industry, the very industry that caused this economic collapse. I'm the guy that caused that hearing.
Dave, can you do me a favor?
That is a public hearing.
Dave, can you do me a favor? Because we've got very short. I'm very interested in what you're talking about. Maybe some of our listeners are too. If you could post a link at thirdrailblog.com in the comments of today's show links.
All you got to do is Google my name. But like, I'm going to court against the Queen.
What's your name, Dave?
David, D-A-V-I-D, mm-hmm. Raymond, R-A-Y-M-O-N-D, mm-hmm. Amos, A-M-O-S.
Okay.
But while I'm talking to you, if you were to Google Senate Banking Committee, mm-hmm. your number one hit in Google would be the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking and Housing and Urban Affairs. Mm-hmm. You don't have to leave Google. There's a hot button in Google for hearings. Just click mm-hmm. on hearings.
Mm-hmm.
In the search bar to view current hearings, tip up mm-hmm. the year 2003. Now, you were worried about New York.
Mm-hmm.
J.P. Morgan was just on my blog. Stephen Cutler is now the general counsel of J.P. Morgan. One of the banks got a lot of TARP money. They're just on my blog. I looked at them. That said, November the 18th, the hearing, November the 18th, 2003, is entitled Review of Current Investigations of the Mutual Fund Industry. Donaldson, Lakritz, and Fink testified. You can get the political rhetoric before the hearing, but you can no longer get the webcast, nor can you get the transcript of that hearing.
Really?
Disappeared from the public record. I got my copies. I'm using against the Queen. Now, that said, on the second day, on the 20th,
mm-hmm.
Elliot Spitzer, who was pretending to be my friend back in 2003, he mm-hmm. testified.
Mm-hmm.
He thanked me for that document. I have his signature. You can see it on the web. All you got to do is entitle this, look for this expression, Integrity, Yeah, Right, and you'll see a file with 27 pages, and page 15 is Elliot Spitzer, dated November the 20th, 2003, the same day he testified, thanking me for my information about the SEC. Another fellow to testify was Stephen Cutler, who's now J.P. Morgan's general counsel, but then he was Mr. Donaldson's top enforcement lawyer.
Dave, you've given us a ton of information.
Well, I know, but this is recorded, right?
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I
hope
guy. Dave, they're going to cut us off, buddy.
I'll let you go.
Fascinating. I do appreciate you weighing in, and if you want to get a hold of me, you can through that blog there. I'd love to pick up the conversation.
With recent international flight from the